Delaney, coast to coast, and all the nooks and crannies in between. Right at the top of the show, we always go inside the Beltway. So we head to D.C. What a pleasure to welcome Jeff Holtzman from Talk Radio News to the show. Jeffrey, how you doing, buddy?
Kate, I'm doing great. Good to be with you.
I'll tell you what, is the Senate going to have this vote on the three-month extension of the Patriot Act? Somebody planted that in my ear earlier in the day. Is that true?
Yeah, it looks like that probably will happen. I mean, there's a number of senators on both sides of the aisle in the Senate who support an extension of the Patriot Act in some form. Obviously, Patrick Leahy, you know, the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, has expressed his support for it. So I would expect that to go forth.
Wow. All right, how about this? Of course, still the big buzz over the budget. The president defending his $37 trillion budget. So what's really been the reaction to that? I hear that if you're left of left or if you're right of right, if you're somewhere in between, nobody likes that. That's still true a couple days later, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, everybody's got something about the budget proposal that they disagree with. You know, for Republicans, obviously, they don't support the tax increases on big business and the oil companies. They don't support, you know, the spending initiatives on infrastructure and innovation and, you know, all the things the president's been talking about lately as part of his Win the Future strategy. On the other side, Democrats aren't really, you know, too keen on the fact that the president is proposing certain cuts in his budget. A lot of programs would see, you know, their budgets scaled back slightly, not to, you know, the extent of what Republicans are proposing in the House, but nonetheless, I mean, the president has made it a goal in this budget to really take a crack at discretionary spending and get that down.
Yeah, absolutely. And finally, what are the chances of a federal shutdown? Because, of course, you know, 2011, we don't really have a budget for 2011, do we? So what are the chances that everything shuts down?
Well, I don't want to speculate, but I'll say at this point it could be about 50-50. I mean, obviously, I don't think either party really truly wants a government shutdown. But right now, Republicans are discussing it because they know that, you know, I don't want to say that there's support out there for a government shutdown, but you're certainly seeing a lot of, you know, anti-government, you know, anti-big government, I should say, rhetoric. A lot of people out there, you know, look at the spending. They look at other, you know, regulations put in place by the federal government. And that's sort of contributed to this, you know, this limited government sentiment, this movement that we've been seeing the past couple of years. And, of course, you talked about the Tea Party and that sort of thing. But I still don't think at the end of the day that that means that either party is truly embracing the idea of a shutdown, but they're both going to try to leverage it against each other. Republicans are going to say, you know, look, we don't want to raise the debt ceiling, although I do believe in the end they will, but they're going to use that to try to get Democrats to come around to supporting their spending cuts. And, you know, we're seeing right now the Republicans start a debate today on this 2011 funding measure, and it proposes $61 billion worth of cuts, which is a lot. So, you know, we'll see where it goes.
All right, Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News. Thanks so much, buddy. We appreciate it.
Anytime, Kate. Thanks.
So it is all about the budget still. You know, it's no sweetheart deal. You heard what Jeff just had to say. We've been dissecting it now actually for a couple of weeks. It dropped on Valentine's Day. So in his first full conference, news conference, if you will, this year, the president went off on a couple of different things, including talking about the budget and saying he's not going to give in to the Republicans on the massive spending cuts, period, end of story. So he's not backing down. This is the budget, tough crap, live with it, deal with it, because I'm not doing it. I'm not going to cry uncle this time. I will not do it. So we could have a little bit of a standstill here, and I think we will have a little bit of a standstill. Now, remember, the budget we're talking about is 2012. 2011 is where I just asked Jeff the question, will there be a federal freeze? So there's already a federal freeze on raises and all that stuff, but, I mean, a complete freeze where it's almost like a walkout, a forced walkout. Ooh, the government is shut down, baby. So if you have anything that you need to do, any paperwork, get it in now. That's my suggestion. Could happen. Might not be, you know, might be a tiny, tiny window, but it's looking like some serious battle lines are going to begin to be drawn all over again. So whatever happened at the State of the Union now has taken a turn in a different direction because this is the real budget. And the president doesn't want to budge on the budget. So get ready. And looking at the budget, it's the same things I talked about before. Somebody sent me a really long email today. His name was Hal. Thank you, Hal, for that email. And he wanted me to break down, well, tell me the big things that will be cut. What federal things are going to be cut? I'm worried. Well, you should be worried if you're relying on some federal programs, because there are things that are going to go away. And one of the things he was concerned about was the heating situation, heating for poor people. In other words, the money that they would get in the case of being in some of these really poor, brutal situations where they can't afford to pay the electric bill, basically. And that would be one program that would be hit. There would be others that would be hit. Then there's the question of Social Security. The president feels like Social Security reform could get done with just a little bit of a modest adjustment and without slashing the benefits. Boy, look at your checks. I want everybody to take the rest of the week, look at your checks. If you haven't gotten that piece of paper in the mail from Social Security that tells you you're going to get $5 when you retire, unless you wait till you're 70 and then you're going to get 15, what are they going to slash? Slash what benefits? I like the old idea that was floated during the Bush administration, and he was just beaten down for the idea. Why not just give us the money now? Okay, you can't afford it, just send us all the checks. And if we go out and party and spend it and buy a Mercedes or whatever, so what? Then we stimulate the economy and it's our fault when we retire. But I'd rather take the chances on, give me the check now, I'll roll the dice and invest it, because I'd rather rely on myself. I don't trust the government with Social Security. Are you kidding me? Modest adjustments without slashing benefits? Oh, I shudder to think at what would be left. I mean, come on. And on all these issues, there seems to be such broad strokes. I mean, how serious are they about cutting? And the answer is they're taking a whack at a few big programs, but overall, I agree that there are not deep enough cuts. You cannot have a series of cuts that just look good. Everybody's going to bleed. That's what's going to happen, because it's just not enough. $61 billion in cuts is what the Republicans want. America, do you think that we can cut out $61 billion somewhere? Do you think we can do that? Can we find that? I will tell you my answer. My answer is there's so much duplication in the government. I know from various people I've talked to that I hate to say that they did an audit of themselves, of these federal jobs in the IRS, routed through Navy and a bunch of others. They could eliminate so much fat, they would eliminate that money so easily. But it's about protecting turf. That's what it's about. And they are not going to do that kind of an audit. But if they did, that's what would happen. And people would lose their jobs. But you have people that are doing duplicate jobs in the government. There's enough that I think you'd get close to that number. I think you'd get close to it. So now there's a chance that this potential government shutdown, if they don't get through the current budget impasse, if it's not resolved, woo, get your paperwork in. Get it in.
It's the winter cold and flu supplement sale at HerbalHealer.com. Take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on the best cold and flu supplements available. Many of you know elderberry is exceptional against viral infections. Right now, Herbal Healer Academy has elderberry power. Regularly priced at $16.95, now incredibly low at only $10 for 60 vegetarian caps. For children and seniors, our Herbal Healer Academy Flu Away Elderberry Liquid is only $13 for a 4-ounce bottle. Also on super sale, olive leaf capsules, oregano oil plus capsules, and our incredible respirate formula, Oregacillin Physician Strength Capsules for your lungs. Normally $34.95, now just $25. Hit the winter specials link at HerbalHealer.com for these cold and flu supplement specials and other on-sale products like apple cider vinegar, brain power, and neuro recovery. New customers get a free catalog with your first order. Log on and hit the winter specials now at HerbalHealer.com.
I'm Roger Rao at Midas Resources. If you are going through a financial roller coaster because of your investment in stocks, bonds, and other paper assets, perhaps you're ready for a change. You have an opportunity to change your financial security. Get the stability and peace of mind you deserve by investing in precious metals. Gold and silver have been a form of wealth protection for over 5,000 years all over the world. If you have seen your hard-earned money lose value because of inflation, sliding dollar, etc., it's time you stop the bleeding. The answer to your problems is simple. Gold and silver. Silver will protect your assets and your purchasing power, physical possession of precious metals, IRA rollover, etc. Call me, Roger Rao, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 178. Take action today when we are still accepting paper dollars for gold and silver. Ready for a change? Call Roger Rao at 1-800-686-2237, extension 178. Again, it's 1-800-686-2237, extension 178.
There's mounting evidence suggesting that there are people, governments, corporations, and whole professions intent on short-circuiting humanity's well-being. GMO, food legislation protecting big agriculture, the attempted elimination of vitamins and alternative medicines, it seems their hand has been tipped. They want to dictate your health, wealth, and your longevity. Whatever the outcome, we have a solution. Wild edible food. Why worry about food when all has been provided? We imagine that we were ejected from the garden and never invited back, but the garden's still here. There is an endless wild abundance which grows all over our green earth, just waiting for you to wake up and see it. Let author Linda Runyon teach you how to see, know, get, prepare, store, and eat wild edible food. Save money, add nutrition, and ignore the noise when you go shopping in nature's supermarket. Go to ofthefield.com and get started today. Or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE. That's ofthefield.com or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE. And begin to see a different world.
In this stuff with the budget, I'm almost tired. I am like budget weary. I'm sick of talking about it. I am, except for that it matters to every single one of us. Because, you know, I'm about smaller government, sure, but I'm not about no government, and there are things that I have to go through the government for, you know. So I'm beholden now because of all the Social Security money that I've paid in. I actually went back and looked at it, and I have paid Social Security in some form. Some years, not as fruitful as others, but it doesn't matter. I've paid Social Security since I've been 16 years old. So give me the check now. Give me the check. And I will trust myself to invest it. Just give us our money back, because when you're threatening that you don't think you're going to have to really slash Social Security, boy, that's not a good feeling. And then saying that with just some modifications, what are those modifications? Taking more out of checks? I don't know. We could raise the gasoline tax from 18 cents to a dollar. Yeah, you want to see people go berserk. That's one option that won't work. I guarantee it. I mean, it's crazy. It's this whole idea that we cannot come up with a balanced budget, that we've gotten to this position in the first place, is just, to me, stupid. Like, we just keep throwing money down the rat hole. And I know I've made this analogy before, and I know somebody could call me up and say, oh, yeah, but, you know, you've got these programs and the cost of living, and then we went through these economic hard times. I mean, there's a million excuses. The bottom line is, when you go spending crazy and you can't make it up fast enough, that's a bad deal. Been run is, yeah, sometimes you have to play a little catch-up, but we're playing too much catch-up. So the government is going to have to jack up its revenue. They're going to have to do that. So how are they going to jack up the revenue? I mean, get ready for the onslaught. That's what I say. Don't the Democrats understand what's going on? Don't they know what happened in November? Because people were so frustrated. It goes back to the same thing. I don't think all politicians are disconnected. I just think about 85% of them are. And they need to know what it's like not to have the do-re-mi, to be in the everyday neighborhoods and see what people are going through. That's where there's something lost in this. So the $61 billion, to me, the $61 billion, the overlap of the bureaucracy of the government, I really believe we could get at least close to that number. I would love for someone to hire me. Somebody to hire me to go in with a team of people. We wouldn't even charge very much. I mean, we'd have to make something because it would take some manpower. But we wouldn't charge very much because we don't want to add on to that debt. And let me do the audit. Let's go through the programs and let's find where the fat is, the overlapping, in other words, where you have two or sometimes three people doing the same job. I'm not saying you're getting rid of people who are doing different jobs and you're just trying to pour on all the responsibility on one person instead of three. I'm saying I'm not kidding you. I have very good sources who have told me that there is so much overlap. It's ridiculous. Specifically, two who work for the IRS that could not believe the overlap. People who work for the IRS, one for 25 years, one for 40. One for 40. So what are we cutting? What are we cutting? Medicare? Military spending, welfare, I don't know. You know, let's spin the wheel of fortune. At this point, the right thing would be to go back and to look at the duplication of the government employees in certain positions where I know for a fact there's too much overlap. Maybe you don't get to $61 billion, but I bet you you get pretty darn close. The audit probably would be worth it, except for that they don't want that. I don't care where it is, who's running what branch of what. They don't want that audit because they don't want to lose it. They don't want to lose the jobs. They don't want to have the people that they've gotten in and who have moved up in the various pay grades. There's a protection of the turf there in some cases. So you may have other ideas about what should be cut out. There was someone, a congressman from Texas, who won the straw poll at CPAC, Ron Paul, who said, okay, let's just cut out foreign aid. If we're so screwed, and we cannot balance a budget, and we are drowning with this deficit, then we don't have the money to give. So sorry. We cannot help you. We don't have the money. So at least temporarily, we're going to have to halt giving it out. We don't have it. Let's just rely on wealthy people in the country to write the checks. Let them come to the aid of people who sadly have awful things happen, like hurricanes and earthquakes and, you know, whatever it might be. Let's rely on the 2% who have serious, serious money to lift up other people and get maybe everybody in their corporations to donate a little bit. And if we did that, wouldn't that be enough? Couldn't we make up some of the money that way? I mean, there's a suggestion. That already happens. In some cases, there are charities where I can't think of the one off the top of my head, but where the employees are encouraged to give money. I mean, just even a couple of bucks out of their paycheck. Oh, what is it? I can't think of it. I'll think of it. And you probably, somebody out there listening to me, you've been asked to do it. It's usually around, you know, the holidays, Christmas time, and usually they take out 15 bucks out of people's checks or something. And then that way all of the people in the corporation and all the divisions end up giving money to whatever it is. All right, let's go to Dan in Texas. Dan, where are we getting the $61 billion? I think we can find it. I agree with the Republicans. Come on.
Yeah, baby. Okay, Madam President, here we go. We got a man by the name of Stephen King, who's a congressman from Ohio, and mm-hmm. he wants to put forth an amendment to defund $105 billion that Obama wants to spend to hire IRS agents, the number is 16,000, to ride herd on us and reach into our wallets. Now, we're having a procedure problem with some congressmen up there that are part of the old guard that will not do his bidding. They want to run things according to Hoyle like they have in the past. Well, you can be the good guys and lose, or you can play the way the Democrats do with hardball and give them right back what they gave us with that Nancy Pelosi $105 billion in our budget from last year's Congress, which is illegal, and do away with her little program and eliminate $105 billion right now.
Do away with it. Do away with the money. I agree with the IRS agents that they're talking about that would do the audits. That's what you mean.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll have a real good joke for you tomorrow night, but I don't have time right now. I love you. I need my picture. I'll talk to you later.
Dan, I'm going to hold you to the joke. I'm going to hold you to it. Okay, so we've got some people that are also chiming in on this, including Celeste Dahl, who says from the chat, would it be any different if the Republicans were in? I don't think so. No money in the kitty. No money in the kitty. There's no money in the kitty because they're spending too much of the money. That's the deal. And so this is the problem. The problem is we didn't need to go this far down the path in the first place. We could have reeled it in. And even if there was a little bit of a deficit, it could have easily been taken care of, but we went so far off the deep end. And now it's like we're trying to swim backwards. It's ridiculous. Coming up on the flip side, we're going to talk to our movie man, Stephen Shohat. Mel Gibson, famous actor, director, dies. We'll talk to him about that and other things.
Becoming a modern smoker is now easier and more cost-effective, thanks to LeSig. Traditional smokers the world over love LeSig. E-cigarettes with a look, feel, and taste of real cigarettes, but without the nasty smoke, ashes, or stains. LeSig is powered by revolutionary microelectronic technology. A small, rechargeable battery and unique replaceable cartridge provide all the satisfaction and benefits of smoking without the smoke and all the hazards. See the large variety of LeSig e-cigarette supplies and accessories at LeSig.com. That's L-E-C-I-G.com. LeSig is competitively priced, comes with the best customer service, a 30-day warranty, and satisfaction guaranteed. What a great gift idea. For a 10% discount, mention GCN when you call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Ask for fast, free, same-day shipping. Order online at LeSig.com and use promo code GCN at checkout. That's L-E-C-I-G.com. LeSig, for today's modern smoker.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-877-814-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-877-814-MY-TV right now to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to four rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HD TV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part, the pristine digital picture and sound. Call 1-877-814-MY-TV. So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-877-814-MY-TV. 1-877-814-MY-TV. Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more. Call 1-877-814-MY-TV. 1-877-814-MY-TV.
At hempusa.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Alley-C. Why Alley-C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Alley-C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Alley-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Alley-C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Alley-C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Alley-C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Alley-C. For more information and to order Alley-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Alley-C today.
Let me make sure that I'm clear on what I'm telling everybody. Before I went to break, I think I said something about Mel Gibson. The actor who played some very big characters in two of Mel Brooks's hit movies, Kenneth Mars, died over the weekend in California. He was 75. He had pancreatic cancer, was just such a killer. What I remember him from, though, I started to think about this, is the voiceover stuff he did. He was on that one show, what was it called? Darkwing Duck. Anyone remember that? And he had some, in the Brooks stuff, he had some very memorable lines. And see if you can remember the characters. One was from the producers, and this, you have to go back, and he portrayed the Nazi playwright in the original film, The Producers. And then he was also in Young Frankenstein as a police inspector. You may remember that if you've gone back and looked at this. And again, Kenneth Mars. So joining us right from the get-go talking about this and some other things like Pixar. I'm excited about talking about Pixar because I just watched a documentary on it that was on Pixar and the creation of Pixar that was on CNBC. Stephen Shohat from Hollywood Stories, that's his book that is probably, I hope, on some of your shelves of the people listening out there. But Stephen, thanks for joining us once again. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. Thanks for having me, Kate.
So do you remember Kenneth Mars? Do you remember the characters in the Brooks movies?
Yeah, absolutely, especially in Young Frankenstein. I have to be honest, I wasn't a big fan of the producers, but Young Frankenstein was a movie that killed me, so I guess to each their own. But, I mean, obviously he was great. And also, I believe he was in What's Up, Doc, too, which was a Peter Bogdanovich movie. And he sort of took on Ryan O'Neal in that movie. So, everybody said what a sweet guy he was. He didn't always play that on the screen, but I guess that that shows the talent.
Yeah, no kidding. He was in Fletch. I remember he was in Fletch, too, if you think back on that movie. I think Goldie Hawn was in it, and Chevy Chase, I think, was in it.
Yeah, was Goldie Hawn in Fletch? I thought she was in... I don't think it was Fletch, but
Fletch.
I can't remember which one it was. It was that romantic comedy she did with Chevy Chase where she was being chased around by those two guys. And,
yes.
I'll get it.
I know. I hate that when I can't remember it. So I guess she wasn't Fletch, but Chevy Chase certainly was. And people listening would, if you don't know who Kenneth Mars is, you would know his face if you saw, this is radio, but if you saw a picture of Kenneth Mars, you would certainly know who he is. And I was talking about just before you came on the fact that that he died.
Foul play.
Thank you. Oh, yeah. That would have bugged me. I actually kind of like that movie. I don't know why. The chemistry between the two of them was good.
Yeah. I thought that was a fun movie.
Yeah, no kidding. Pixar. Yeah. Let's talk about Pixar. So big. Toy Story 3 has actually a crack at the best pictures, or really a chance that they could win.
I guess there's a shot. I mean, I think it's against the odds, but they're the most successful company ever as far as putting out quality movies and never having a flop. I mean, you think Toy Story 1 was only 15 years ago, 1995, and the thoughts before Toy Story 1, would people sit for a completely computer-generated movie? I mean, it was coming right after The Lion King. I mean, everybody was used to two-dimensional, but not three-dimensional. I mean, they had the main guy at Pixar, there's a lot of people, but the main guy is John Lasseter, who's probably the closest thing to Walt Disney today, as far as his working style, where he's the head of the company, but he takes input from everybody. The best idea wins. You try and suppress the egos as much as possible. I mean, at one point, the Disney brass were so concerned about the original Toy Story, they thought Woody was such an unlikable character that they were sending John Lasseter to screenwriting classes so he could get things straightened out. But the thing that was established, and I don't know if it has to be this way, but it seems like that they sort of established this thing where two-dimensional animation, like movies like, say, the Beauty and the Beast or the Little Mermaid, would be sort of like Broadway musicals and love stories, where Pixar came in and said, we don't really want to do that. We want to make buddy movies. Movies like Midnight Run, where these two, this odd couple of guys, is stuck in this situation, and they sort of have to team up to make the situation better, and that's what they got going right away with Toy Story, and they've never had a flop. And they've been able to do things, again, sort of like Walt Disney. Like, I remember we talked on an earlier show about how Walt Disney would put personal things in his life into Mickey Mouse cartoons. Well, it's the same with Pixar. With Toy Story 3, for example, that came about because John Lasseter dropped his daughter off at college at Loyola Marymount University out here. And he had a great sense of loss, and he started discussing it with the other people at Pixar. What if Andy, the character who owns the toys, grows up and needs to get rid of the toys? What happens then? Mm. And that formed the whole basis for the story. The one thing about them that's different from other companies too is they're not a prolific company. I think they've only made 10 movies in 15 years. They're of all the filmmakers, they're the ones that seem to be the most focused on stories. And part of that was being under the protection of the Walt Disney Company, Disney providing them the time where they could get the story absolutely the way they wanted it, which a lot of filmmakers don't have because there are deadlines and you have to get the thing out there. And you know, sometimes you need time for creativity, and it's been the way in it's been that way in Pixar's case.
Yeah, especially with animation. So you think, well, animation, these things happen, but when you go behind the scenes and you know this, Stephen, when you look at what goes into it, it's just, it's not lickety-split, okay, we throw up our storyboards, flop something out there, the kids will go see it, give us the beginning, the middle, and the end. I think you've hit on it. That's the difference with the Pixar movies. It's amazing that they haven't had a flop. I mean, that's incredible. In 15 years, no flops.
Yeah, and you know, I am kind of old-fashioned, being an old Disney fan. I generally would prefer watching two-dimensional traditional animation to three-dimensional. I think with the computers, I think that hand-drawn is more amazing to me. But
right.
I think I'm in the minority. I really do. I think people, the movie Spirit, which was an animated film, came out for DreamWorks. And nobody watched it, and at the same time, Finding Nemo came out, and everybody watched that.
Right.
I think there's just people are acclimated to the 3D now, and I guess Pixar is a big reason for that. The interesting thing about that is that John Lasseter, who has been in charge of all these wonderful movies, totally poo-poos that and says, you know, it doesn't matter. It's all about storytelling. It doesn't matter 2D, 3D, but I think it does matter to audiences at this point.
Oh, yeah, for the younger audience. They're so used to that. I mean, now they're selling the glasses are designer glasses. You don't have to get the throwaway glasses when you go to the 3D movies.
Right, right. Yeah, absolutely. So,
yeah,
I mean, yeah, I mean, you could do traditional animation in 3D too. I mean, Lady and the Tramp was done that way back in 1955. But I don't know. I think people are more impressed by the computer animation. Just a point of interest. Toy Story took like 100 people to make. The Lion King took 800 people to make. So when you have a hand-drawn movie, it's going to take way more people. But I think people are more impressed by the 3D, which is different from me. But I love Pixar's movies.
I agree with you, absolutely. Hey, I wanted to bring this up because we know where reality TV is going. Look at the Jersey Shore kids, how they've become big stars and are making crazy money. But you also have the reality stars that are people who were stars in their own right in the 80s or whatever, the 90s, maybe even doing television shows. Roseanne Barr now joins the list. She's going to do a reality show. So is it because these stars need the money and they think that this is a new vehicle for them? Or why are they doing reality shows? Why is Roseanne Barr doing a reality show?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. You don't have to get up and go to work. I mean, they're going to come to her. You go back to I Love Lucy, and Lucille Ball made that show in L.A. instead of going to New York, where they traditionally made TV shows. She wanted to stay home. She thought it would lead to a better domestic life. And here's Roseanne Barr with her macadamia nut farm. She's going to be able to publicize the heck out of her macadamia nuts and get paid for it at the same time. And if the reality show's a big hit, you know, like you said, I mean, they can make huge money. I mean, like Lauren Conrad was making millions off that show.
Mm.
The interesting thing about reality shows is, will they ever be unionized? Because, it drives some people in Hollywood crazy. They think the producers are skirting the unions. But a lot of people who work in reality shows don't mind the long hours because they have a chance to get promoted to executive producer pretty quickly if they can successfully do it. And,
yeah.
And anyway, it's interesting. But anyway,
it is interesting.
HollywoodStories.com.
It is interesting. It is interesting to see the phenomenon of the reality shows and where they started and how far they've come. So HollywoodStories.com, as he just said, Stephen Shohet. We look forward to talking to you again next week. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Kate.
normal blood pressure naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
To see you when I wake up, it's a gift I didn't think could be real. To know that you feel the same as I do is a
the Daily Salute. But before we get to the Daily Salute, I brought this up on a previous show, the fact that how crazy is it you have Jeopardy, you have two former champs playing a machine, a machine created by IBM. So it's man versus the machine, baby. And who's winning? It's a three-day little tournament. The first day, a tie. Man and the machine. Second day, the machine pulls ahead. Now, I saw a little bit of the first day. I didn't catch the second day. Our Matt Johnson happened to be watching it, and I think he went back and watched the first day, too. What do you think so far of this computer? It's crazy to watch it, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really interesting, the fact, just the whole process of how it all happens with it having to understand kind of the English language and computing and coming up with the answers for it, and then actually it getting ringing in the buzzer and everything. It's a really fascinating process. But then watching it, you see kind of how discouraged some of these the former champions, Ken Jennings and the Brad guy, I can't remember his last name, and because they know the answer, but they just can't compute it fast enough to hit the buzzer before the computer can. But then on the other hand, there's sometimes where the computer just it doesn't know the answer, and it gives these weird answers. Like the Final Jeopardy today was one where it just didn't have a clue for it, and so it's kind of kinks in the armor a little bit.
Yeah, and it's very strange to see. You have the two guys, so in between them is the computer, and it's just very odd. And the computer is named Watson, by the way. I know I've told you that before, but second day went to the computer. And overall, even with the kinks, the machine was pretty dominant. And the idea is it's got 2,800, they call it. It has processing power of 2,800 powerful computers, pretty much, chirping out the answers. it has to be strange for the two other guys that are there standing there while the IBM machine goes off. The winner of the three-day competition, by the way, wins $1 million. So there was some incentive here. Second place will get about $300,000. The third place person will get $200,000. IBM is going to donate whatever Watson does to charity. So if the machine wins the $1 million, then the company donates that money. So that's a good thing.
And it's also really just interesting because the reason this is lasting 3 days because they're doing two games and then it's spread out over 3 days. And in between kind of some of the competition, they give you the background of the computer and other things that they went back to the IBM, the chess match with Kasparaitis or whatever his name was. I can't remember. And it just shows you like the level and how they're just stepping it up to a whole nother level as far as like computers go, where understanding and problem solving just English language and doing that, it's just it brings to light like what the future could hold as far as just like talking to your car, talking to your cell phone, talking to your computer and having it figure out things with you. And like a medical doctor trying to figure out a diagnosis with the aid of a computer kind of talking back and forth to you. It's really a futuristic type of thing.
Yeah, I agree. Because what could this computer understand the question, process it, and then search the database and come back with a logical answer, which is what's going on with Jeopardy. So it's interesting to see, you know, it's like that crazy movie that Will Smith was in, I, Robot. Remember that whole thing? And this is, the robots there were nasty robots, but are these computers intelligent enough to do things like replace the human touch of a teacher in some of these classrooms? How far away is something like that? The computer, too, what the computer seems to be good at is buzzing in quickly. And Matt told me an interesting thing before we went on the air. He said, you know, what about the final question? And the computer messed up the final question. The final question, Jeopardy question was, see how many of you know this, it was about which city has the largest airport named for a World War II hero and a second airport named for a World War II battle. The computer answered Toronto. And that was not the right answer. The answer was Chicago. So it messed that one up, but the computer still wins overall. And you could be seeing how this computer does, seeing how Watson does, you could be seeing some futuristic things, let's say. All right, here's the deal for the Daily Salute. I just love this. What would it be like? Imagine this. You keep talking about, well, if I just win the lottery, my life would be different, but you never buy tickets. And then finally one day, the lottery's so bloody high, you pull into the gas station, you plunk down a couple of dollars, you buy a lottery ticket, and you just toss it away. I mean, you toss it in a drawer somewhere, you don't even remember anymore, because you figure, well, I could get struck by lightning, I'm not going to really win this, and I just kind of forgot about it. I bought a couple of, tickets, but didn't spend very much money. So there was this couple who claimed their lottery winnings on the very last day. It was a Mega Millions prize. They waited until the day before the deadline, because if they had waited any longer, I mean, they wouldn't be eligible. So check, boy, that's testing fate, isn't it? So Aaron and Raleigh Hill kept that a secret for 6 months. They hid the ticket in an envelope, a Bible, a shoebox. They were moving it all over the place. A work locker until they wanted to cash it in. They were very nervous. They drove to Raleigh. Do you love that? Raleigh, the name of the woman, and then they drive to Raleigh. They drive to Raleigh to claim the Mega Million prize that would have expired at 5 o'clock, but they got there in enough time. And it kind of brought an end to some of the frantic searches because they forgot where they had hid the ticket. You know, glove compartment, covered wallets, all that stuff. So they get a lump sum of $340,000 after taxes. How about that? And all they did was they got the Mega Millions ticket at some little market in August of last year. And he hid the ticket, couldn't find it, but here's a scoop. You have 180 days to come forward. So 180 days. And they finally did it. Wow, that's a nice present. And of course, they did the obligatory pose, held the check up and everything, but they made it just in the nick of time. So I think that is the daily salute, because they made it in the nick of time. They lost the ticket originally, found it, and then started placing it all over the place. I say you give them a round of applause for getting there just in time. Woohoo! They made it. I don't know that I would wait that long. In fact, I know I wouldn't. I mean, I know they probably didn't want all the hoopla and everything, but I would be afraid because it's, you know, it's in the shoebox, it's in the closet, it's here, it's there. And originally they couldn't find it. They didn't even look at it in the beginning. And then when they figure out that they have it and they check it a zillion times, I don't think I would have taken that risk. Matt, would you have taken that risk? I wouldn't have. I as much as maybe I would want to keep it a secret or whatever, I don't know that I would trust myself to wait till the last day, not have something happen, and get to the lottery office in time.
Well, I've already told you before that I got a plan.
You would disappear.
So I wouldn't claim it on the first day I had either, but what I would do is you got to contact a lawyer, and you got to set up a trust and claim
yes.
the ticket in the trust name. That way you
yep.
can never be found, and you won't be hounded by all these fanatics and lunatics who want to just take your money.
Yeah, he's absolutely right. I think that's some good advice, that the problem is your name gets out there and then everybody finds you. What's also interesting about winning the lottery, whatever amount it is, $1 million, $10 million, whatever, wherever they sell you that ticket, they get money for selling the ticket. So that little tiny market got $10,000. And then when it was announced that's where they bought the ticket, people were coming in from all over the place, I guess figuring it was like the magic lamp, and they were going to go in there and they were going to buy their tickets from that particular market. Remember, you can always send me your thoughts, americatonight.net.